Glory to God. Turn your Bible to John 14. We're learning a lot about the kingdom. And last night I got another download. I mean, God just opened the book of Hebrews to me last night. And I've never seen that. I said, God, I've never seen that. And that whole book is a master key to the operation of our priesthood. And what the Lord did for us, and I'm going to be getting into that. I can't get into it today, but I'm going to be getting into that book here really soon. I've been waiting to dissect that one. And so I don't know how deep the Lord let me go with it, but wow, it's just amazing. But we're preparing. You have to understand certain things about God is that when you're asking him certain questions about scriptures, you're asking, some of these scriptures are rooftop scriptures. You're not going to get the revelation of those without certain building blocks of understanding that the Holy Spirit puts in you. He's always building your understanding. It's kind of like calculus. You're not going to get into calculus if you don't understand addition and multiplication. You can't understand that level without that building block. It's the same with God. He builds the blocks. But you're thinking, well, what's the use of keeping going deeper? Why don't we go out? The problem is going out powerless is you end up getting very little accomplished because we're not going out equipped. We're just going out. You know how many times I've been to the mission fields? I used to go all the time. I'd go out. But I found it's the same thing every time because it was in accordance to what was working in me is accordance to the fruit that I went out with. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes you got to go in to God to get more of him working in you, get more of him on you. So when you do go out, your productivity will be increased 100-fold over. Amen. So what we're learning to do is not only go into God, we're learning to go into the priesthood. And I'll give you a foretaste of Hebrews. He was differentiating. You're standing between angels and you. He was differentiating Moses' tabernacle and your tabernacle, the Levites' operation, and us as spiritual Levites. And he was differentiating, are you ready for this? The administration of the kingdom under the Levites' reign was earthly, but Jesus opened the heavens to let us administrate in the heavens. That whole book was a doorway to administrate the kingdom of God from the heavens perspective and to move into that operation. That's what that book was about. Amen. Oh, that's awesome. So we're getting in there. And today I want to get into the right hand of God again. We're talking about the right hand of God, your position at the right hand of God. We're setting a compass. We've been talking a lot about this. You've got to really get this in you. A series I did called The Abiding Gate initially opened that door. And then Divine Union is another series we did that taught us how to come into that place. And now I'm understanding why the prerequisite of heaven and the necessity of moving higher into God, because that's where the authority is. The authority is in that higher place in God. You got to move in that place. See, Jesus was operating in a different jurisdiction. When he told them to cast the net, he cast the net in to the sea, but they were above it. See, you got to operate in the position of those things are under your feet. You've got to operate in that separate jurisdiction. Could you imagine if you're swimming in the sea? Jesus says, cast the net while you're swimming. It didn't work that way. You can't swim with sharks and expect to have dominion in that area. You've got to get above it. Then you'll have authority to cast the net into it. You cast the net into the business arena and things begin to respond to the dominion mechanism within you. Amen? So we're learning to do that. But the thing we want to do in these messages is set the compass to get that compass to go up higher. The way you go up higher with God is you got to go up by his word. You go up by the promise. You go up by what you see. You go up by the compass that's set within you and what the word of God says. So we're going to jump in. Are you ready? All right, let's review a little bit. We're going to go to John chapter 14 and we're going to move. I'm going to move through this. If you haven't heard this before, just hang on. Amen. Because I've got to get through this. Today I'm going to teach a little different than normally. Normally we just preach the whole image of a thing. Today I'm going to give you a whole bunch of scripture today. I want to show you the right hand of the Father all through the Bible. And then I'm going to show you a man of the Old Testament, only one that spoke of the right hand of the Father. There's only one man that accessed that in the Old Testament. And we'll get into that. Let's look at John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. About to tell him I've been with you for 3.5 years. I'm leaving you now. I'm going away. Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house, you believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, there are mansions in heaven because there's been plenty of people gone there, but that's not what this one's talking about. It wasn't talking about your mansion in heaven. He was talking about in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, rooms, places. And this is what he was speaking of. In my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. There's many rooms. There are many places of occupancy. Now, when you say Father's house, he's talking about kingdom. Anytime you word house, it means kingdom, government, system, house, all that stuff about the kingdom. In my Father's kingdom, there's many places of occupancy. All right? I'm going away. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a room for you. All right? And if I go, verse 3, and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Everyone thinks that's at the second coming of the Lord. No. He's already coming again. He already came and got you. He hasn't come the second time. He's already came and got you here. Hold on, I'll explain that. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John chapter 1 said he came from the bosom of the Father. Between John 13 and John 17, he probably says it 10 times. I go back to the Father. I'm going to my Father. I'm going to my Father. Now here he's telling him, let not your heart be troubled. I got to leave you because I'm going to the Father. I'm going back to where I was before. I'm going back into the right hand of the Father. We'll show you exactly where he went. I can't spend too much time on this because I got a long way to go. He says, I'm going back to the Father, but I go by way of the cross. When I go by way of the cross, I'll build a bridge for you. I'll come back and get you. When do you think he came back and got him? As soon as the Holy Spirit fell, as soon as they were born again, and the Holy Spirit fell, he got him. And he pulled them in to where he was. That was the story of the gospel, my friend. It was not just for your salvation. That was stage one. That was the door. The true story of the gospel was the Lord was going to deliver you where he was with the Father. He's going to give you his place of fellowship that he held with the Father. Not just when you get to heaven. Now. Now. I'll come again and get you. You can't go there right now because you have a nature in you that can't inherit that place. But I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to go by way of the cross. I'm going to come back and get you. When I get you, I'm going to give you something that can inherit the kingdom. I'm going to translate you out of the darkness of the kingdom you were born in and into the light. And I'm going to make you an heir. I'm going to make you a joint heir. I'm going to make you an heir of the kingdom, and I'm going to bring you to the place that I held with the Father for all eternity. I give you that position. Booyah! John 17, real quick. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory thou hast given me. See that? Where I am. You see it in John 12, John 14, John 17. Where I am, there you will be also. Where I am with the Father, there you will be also. I will it. You can behold the same glory I have with the Father. I delivered you there. You have a right to be there. Okay, still going to review. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to roll through this fast. Everyone say fast. I'm going to kick it in overdrive here. I've got to get into the next level here. I can't spend time in this. I want to, but I can't. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Ephesians is such an incredible compass for this room. He describes the two kingdoms. Describes the prince of the power of the air and his kingdom. The principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness. But he also describes how the Lord God raised the Lord from the dead and put him above that system. Now, what did he say? I go away. I'm going back to the Father. So where did he go? We want to know where he went. All right? Ephesians 1, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Did he go to the Father? Yes. Where did he go? And set him, get this, at his own right hand. Say his own right hand. The chief place of authority in the Father's government. He set the Lord there in heavenly places. Say in heavenly places. Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. And I'm just beginning to realize where all this stuff lives. With all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Okay? Passing a review. Ephesians 2, 6. Raised us up together. Say that, look at your neighbor, said that means you. Did he raise you when Jesus coming back, or did he raise you already? Are you a dual citizen? Does a dog have fleas in Texas? Can a fish swim? Does a snake have hips? Does a chicken have lips? Is a bullfrog watertight? That's just a little borrowed stuff there. He's raised us up together. Made us sit together. Made is past tense. Sit together in heavenly places. Where's that at? At the right hand of the Father. It's just hard to believe you have a position there, isn't it? Hard to believe that you have that place. He raised you up together, made you sit together. Say together. That doesn't mean out there. It means right there with him, in him, in the Father. Anytime you say in Christ, that's his position with the Father. You're in there. Say, I'm in there. Say, God, get me in there. I'm in there. Keep me in there. The whole key to get there is to understand that position that you have first. Let the Holy Spirit paint the compass. And by the word, you go through the word and you'll learn to come in to the place of authority. It's not natural. You say, you're not of this world. My kingdom's not of this world. You're not of this world. Because you're not of the world. The kingdom's not of the world. You're going to have to get in touch with a part of you that's not of this world. There is a part of you that's alien. It's born of God. It's not of this world. You're going to get in touch with that part of your priesthood. The whole book of Hebrews was how to lift off out of a natural priesthood. If God wanted us to do things the way man does them, he would have never had to change the way Levites did. They could have just continued on in the priesthood. God had to change the priesthood with more exceeding, greater, and precious promises. He wanted to lift us up to administrate from the heavenlies. Where's all spiritual blessing flow? In heavenly places. Where are you seated? In heavenly places. Where's that? At the right hand. Where's that? Far above. Say far above. Okay, now you're caught up. Now y'all ready to go? Let's do it rock and roll. Go to Ephesians 1, verse 1. I'm going to roll through scripture today. I want you to see this over and over and over again. You got to see this position. See it, see it, see it, see it, see it. Because that's what's going to unlock it for you. How do you move in the dimensions of God? You move by faith. How does faith work? Faith paints a compass within you. Faith paints a picture within you. Faith, the word of God, will paint a compass within you. And your faith grabs that compass, see? Like your mind says, foot walk. You walk. But when the word gets you in your spirit, it gets full. And that image gets full in you. And your faith grabs the image. Like I am the door. You see the door? I walk through the door. And that's how you move in the spirit. You move by faith in the word. Everything has to go by the word. Otherwise, you're going to be in the wrong dimension. You're going to be in another heaven. You're going to be in the prince of the power of the air's heaven. You don't want to in that place. Where are you seated? Far above. That's why I want to go far above his system. I don't want to get locked up in anything but God. Amen. As you get prophets, they're always seeing negative stuff, always seeing demonic. They're hanging out in the wrong dimension. God will show you the demonic stuff. He ain't going to leave you live there. You get demonic mentality. Devil behind every bush. You're seeing things. You're just plugged into the wrong. You ain't gone high enough. You got caught in the wrong system. The prince of the power of the air is feeding your prophetic imagery. He wants you looking at him. God never tells you to look at the devil. He said, look at the glory. Look at me. Get up where I am. You'll have a better perspective because all that's under your feet. Amen. You get caught up in the middle of it. All that is war, 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 more, more, war, war, more, war. Hebrews 1, God at sundry times in diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken to us by his son. Differentiating the old and the new. The prophets, now he's speaking by his son. We got a new kingdom and a new heir speaking to us. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Look at this. Sat down. Everyone say, sat down. At the right hand of the majesty on high. Guess where you're sitting? Right there with him. That's just hard to believe, isn't it? You got to have to get your mentality and your mind transformed to believe who you are. You got to hear who you are. You can't access something you can't believe. Nobody has a problem that the Lord sat there. It's just us sat there. Because the insecurity and the fear and the intimidation and the unworthiness won't allow our faith to reach up into a place of heirship, kingship with God. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? Is Christ died, yet rather that rose again? Who is even at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us? What does that mean to you? What kind of intercession do you think he's making? Well, he's trying to just get me out of my little problems I'm in. Listen, God thinks a whole lot more of you than your little problem you're in. He does love the fact he wants to get you out of that, but his intercession he's making at the right hand of the Father is, Father, I will. I came and paid it in blood, Father, that the whole generation could come up to be with me where I am in you and have the same authority, to have the same boldness, to have the same glory on their life that I have with you. I paid it, Father. I make intercession. Here's my blood. I'm at the right hand. I want a generation to come up to be where I am. That's the intercession he's making for you. Bring them up, Father. Pull them out of the sufficiency of the world. Pull them out of the Ishmaels. Pull them out of trying to preach my gospel without power, without glory. Pull them out of the system of man. Pull them up, Father, where all of it flows. Pull them up to where I am. Pull them in me, Father. Draw them. Draw them. Raise up some preachers that have enough guts to preach it. Yeah. They quit trying to build in the natural just to get a whole bunch of people to shine your seats in the church, but bring them up. Yeah. Bring them up, Father. Bring them higher where we can teach them how the kingdom works. You'll be watching. You'll be a product of a system that breeds powerlessness. No compass. Revival's not going to come by us lay it on the floor and start weeping and wailing. You know how many times we've done that? How many times you can go before the city and repent? We've done it 100 times. We just haven't need another repentance session. That's going to be good, but if that would bring it, it would already come. How many times are we going to do that? Well, we just repent, God will heal our land. Well, we have repented. Well, where does it all live? At the right hand. Everyone say the right hand. When church learns to get up in the right hand, all the power and the glory will be there. All the devil will be under your feet. You can't have power over the devil if you're swimming in his territory. He's got to be under your feet. We're not high enough because we have no compass to go higher. Because what we're looking at says, well, this is what God looks like, so let's join the program. You see that? Everyone say booyah. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm on a roll. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why did he do it? Well, so we could be saved. To bring us unto God. He suffered to bring you unto the Father. He suffered to bring you to the Father. To present you before the Father. In my Father's house, there's many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. There's an occupancy in me. And I'll come and get, when I went to the cross, it opened the door. And when I wash you in the blood, I put a new spirit in you, an heirship. And I draw you into the place I hold with the Father, a kingdom of priests, sons and daughters, at the right hand of the Father in authority. I have plenty of room up here. See, the Lord says, I got plenty of room. Come up. He's ever making intercession for us to come into that room in Him. Come into that place in Him. The Word forges that door. It forges that picture. See, the Word paints a picture. It paints an image. It paints a compass, and your faith grabs it. It says, you know what? That's my place. That's my place. And you rise into it. Verse 22, who, 1 Peter 3, verse 22, is gone into heaven. Say, gone. I go to prepare a place for you, gone into heaven, but I'm going to come back and get you so you can be with me where I am, raised together, made to sit together. Say, together. And is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being subject unto Him. Are you ready for this? Authorities and powers? Guess who else they're subject to? You. I know that's hard, but until your belief system gets over the hump. 4-minute mile used to be hard too. You get over the hump. And once you start believing it, you say, wow, that's my place. Everyone say, I have a place. I have a position. I have a room. I have a dwelling place. Does God want you to be there? Does a dog have fleas? Don't make me go back through that again. Colossians chapter 3. Let's go by this one more time. This is a good one, especially for the naysayers. None of them are in here today, praise God. About this church, they don't hang around here very long. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, everyone look at me. If you then be risen with Christ, this is a parallel to Ephesians 2, 6, raised together. If you then be risen with Christ. Where is He at? The right hand of the Father in heavenly places. If you then be risen with Christ in heavenly places. Everyone's pinch your skin. Last time I checked, I was still a little earth creature. Well, there is a part of you that's still a little flesh creature. But the air inside you has been risen with Christ. He has another place. Please don't allow the little flesh creature to confine the air of God within you. He wants to get seated in His position of authority. It's really your belief system that confines Him. Won't let Him reach into that place. He wants to reach. Either that or somebody will come along and tell you something. Don't be afraid to launch into the high places of God. Just make sure you launch the right way. Amen. If you then be risen with Christ, let's see where He wants us to be. Seek those things which are above. How far above? Far above. You mean you can go there? I would imagine so. Where? Now He's going to pinpoint where you're going to seek. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. See, you close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, paint that for me. Set that compass for me. Seek those things that are above where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Why? You have a room there. He went away and prepared one for you. He left. He prepared a room for you. He says, let not your heart be troubled, boys. You think being with me on the earth is something. Wait till I come back and get you. And wait till I deliver you to where I'm with the Father. He goes, you only have trouble for a moment. Then I'm going to come and your joy will be made full again because I'm going to bring you where I am. There ain't nothing like that place. You know where God's bringing the church? You want to know where the church is going in the last days? You know what Jesus is making the intercession for? That a generation will serve him and demonstrate the gospel in the financial arena with power, signs, miracles, and wonders, and the glory of God, the love of God, and the wisdom of God. A generation of demonstration is coming on the earth, and the whole body is going to be drawn up into their airship first. If you think the gospel is going to be won by man doing it a little bit better, a little bit better efforts of man, never. That's not the way the gospel was designed to preach. It was designed to be preached in a place, in a position of authority. And to get there, you got to get above. You got to launch your faith, my friend. Amen. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections on things above, not upon the things of the earth. Wow, do we ever hear that preached? For you are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in the Father. See, my life is hidden at the right hand of the Father. I'm in Christ. My life is hidden in Christ. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if we actually go live where he tells us to live? We keep trying to live here. He said, it's all dead here. You're not going to find anything here. Not if you find that place. That's just good. Remember when Stephen saw the heavens open? What did he see? When you get a hope of Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Go to Matthew 26. I want to get you to David. He's the only Old Testament saint that accessed this place. The only one recorded that accessed the right hand of God. He's the only one that wrote about it. He's the only one that saw it. My question to God is, how did he have access to that place that was not accessible to him? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 59. Now, here's the chief priests and elders and the council, false witness. Matthew 26, verse 59. Against Jesus. Matthew 26, verse 59. Matthew 26, verse 59. I'll keep saying that till I stop hearing the pages rattle. Verse 60, but found none, sought false witness. But found none. Though many false witnesses came, listen, you're going to stand in this place, many false witnesses will come. They'll make all kinds of things up about you. Well, did you hear the latest? Anybody ever had someone come up and say, did you hear the latest? Did you hear the latest things going on? I'm not saying that, Lord. I wanted to say it, but I'm not going to say it. They actually make you laugh. I'm like, God, that's a new one. It's amazing how somebody can receive. I was listening to John Kilpatrick last night on a video, and he talked about, man, they went through the Red Sea with Moses. They ate of that manna that came down by the rod of Moses, you know, and that authority. They drank from a rock that followed them. Can you imagine a rock following you? A rock said it followed them in the wilderness. But yeah, that rock kind of moves. He followed it, and then it gives water. It's like asking for water. The last place you're going to look is a rock. Come, rock, give me some water. It opens up. What did that look like? What did it look like, the rock? Could you imagine the rock wants to, excuse me, move out of the way, I'm coming through here. Well, that's the rock. It kind of follows us. You know, you have a life of his own. Just get out of his way. If you think that's something, water is going to come gushing out here in a minute. Yet the sons of Korah started challenging him. They saw all that, and then they started challenging the authority. He says, you take too much on yourself. So people can walk through things, but then it, just one little lie that comes on through and everybody jumps on the bandwagon. Nobody tries it, tests the word, nothing. Well, it had to be God because it came from that person. And they're out the door through a little lie. Many accusations will rise. Watch the accusations. Accusations come from the accuser of the brethren. Verse 61 said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. He did say that. their mind was in the wrong place. He's speaking of his temple. Verse 62, and the high priest arose and said, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? Give an account. But Jesus held his peace. Man, you got to be somebody when someone starts accusing you and you hold your peace. You know why? He lived above it. He said, he just, listen, that didn't bother him. Where he's living, none of that bothered him. It only bothers you if you're in that system. Do you get that? It'll bother you a lot if you're living in that system. And not only will it bother you, you'll react from that system. If you're above that system, you have what I call diplomatic immunity. It won't bother you. Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God. I adjure thee by the living God. And he's talking to God. I adjure thee by yourself. Give an answer. Can you imagine God? Jesus said, well, I am the living God. You adjure me by me? You know, he could have just said that. He said, wait a minute. You adjure me by me? Is that what you're talking about here? I adjure thee by the living God. Tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, thou hast said. He said, you just said it. Because I don't, you said it. He goes, I'll just use your words. I don't even have to open my mouth. I'll use your words. You said it. That wasn't enough for them. I love his answer here. Nevertheless, since you adjured me by me, I'll go ahead and answer you. Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. You may not be there, but you will see that position. You're going to see that play. Hallelujah. One more, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us lay aside. What kind of thing he's telling you about? Listen, if you're going to live in this place, you better lay aside the weights. You're going to have to lay aside the sin. Why? They want to weight you down into the realm of carnality. That's just not sin. He said, weights are not sin. He said, lay aside the weights and the sins. The weights is the weightiness of this system wants to weight you down so you don't reach up into your place. Amen? Let's lay aside. So lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he tells you where to look. What does Jesus look like to you? Where is he at when you're looking at him? Look unto Jesus, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Everyone say, sat down at the right hand. You want the reason why he tells you to look? Because you have a place there. You're not going to go if you don't look. You can write this down. You'll never go anywhere that you can't first see. You'll never go anywhere that you cannot see. You're not going to see something unless it's forged by an image of the Word of God. forged by life, forged by truth. Your spirit is a recipient of truth, and that image, that place gets forged into your spirit. And that right hand gets forged till you can reach to it and start operating there. That's where Jesus was when he stepped into Peter's boat. When he got into Peter's boat, he said, "Now, Peter, launch out. Let me show you something." He pulled them up to where he was, see, because they were with him. They were in his government. He got in the boat. He got to sit down in Peter's boat. Listen, for you businessmen, if you don't let the Lord sit down in your business, you're going to miss a whole lot of the gospel. If you're making him shove the half of his foot at the end of the bow of the boat, there's a bow in the front, stern, bow, yeah. And to put the feet hanging off, that's like giving, "Well, Lord, we'll shuffle you today. No first fruits, God, we'll shuffle you out." You don't let him have his place in your vessel, in your business. You're probably not going to hear "launch out." Because giving him his place, the exchange is you get to come into the, he pulls your business into his government, see. He pulls your business out of the realm of the natural or the kingdom of this world, and he pulls it into the kingdom, and he sets his kingdom on your business. And what happened? Peter set the kingdom of God right down in his boat, and they all got in the kingdom. And he says, "Launch out." Now they're in the kingdom. And from that kingdom position, he said, "Now, let down." See, they labored all night and caught nothing. You know why? Because that boat was in the world system before. They were in the sweat of the brow system. When you're in the sweat of the brow system, you're not going to catch anything but a whole bunch of hard labor. But when the kingdom gets in there, when you get in the kingdom gets in you. You in the kingdom, the rightful position. Now let down the net. You'll always be where he is when you're in the kingdom. When you're with him at the right hand, you'll be where he is. If you're where he is, you'll be where the fish are. He said, "Now let down that net right there." See, notice the position. The kingdom's in the boat. They let down right there. They cast that net right in there. And the draught of fish was so great, it filled two boats full. Say full. Peter was so amazed because he was a fisherman that always went fishing and never caught anything. And he saw that. I'm going to show you one scripture, and I'll open David up and how he got there, how he did that. It's amazing. Well, let me see this. So Peter, he's the kingdom. They're all up in the kingdom, and they let down that net and that swarm of fish. That's so remarkable catch. Peter falls on the fish, falls down headlong on the fish. Everyone says he fell before Jesus' feet. Jesus is standing on top of fish. Peter's falling. Fish. And he's repenting. He said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. I've never seen anything like this." The manifested glory came on that thing. You know why? Because the kingdom, they were in the glory. The kingdom came down. It's so impressed. Peter, James, John, they left the fishing industry of Capernaum. Good thing they did. Jesus delivered that catch, paid 3.5 years of their ministry in one fell swoop. 3.5 years. You can follow me now. Here's 3.5 years of wages. He said, "If you think this is something, Peter, in the business arena, wait till you see how my kingdom works when I make you a fisher of men. Wait till you see the harvest that'll come from this position in me." Oh, isn't that awesome? Now, let me open up David a little bit. I'm going to show you when he lost it, then I'll show you where he had it. Go to Psalm 77. King David understood this place. Every time he talked about the secret place of the Most High, "Hide me under the shadow of your wings," he understood that as a place in the Father. He understood how to go in there. And he saw it, and every time he referenced the right hand of God, he was referencing Psalms 91, the secret place of the Most High. He referenced the right hand of God probably 10 times in the book of Psalms. Now, in this particular psalm I'm going to give you today to close, this is where he lost it. "I've been high and I've been low." And when you get in that place and you come out of it and you stay out of it very long, there is no misery that can equate to that kind of misery. Because when you get up to that place, there's no greater glory. It's all there. All the spiritual blessing flows in that heavenly seat. So when you get positioned in God, it's all there, and you get your cup filled to fullness. See. But this is a time in David's life he had fell out of that place. When you fall out, you got to watch yourself how far you're willing to fall down. Solomon talks a lot about this in the first 10 chapters of Proverbs. Don't let your feet slip. Don't draw out. Don't decline from wisdom's ways. Whereas wisdom, she's at the top of the high places. He saw wisdom, the government of God. He compared it to two women, wisdom and the harlot. The harlot was the principalities, the powers, the prince of the power of the air. And then wisdom was at the top of the high. He knew the harlot system was in the high places, and he warned of her dangers. Don't get trapped in there. He goes, but there's another system, there's another government, there's another house that's in the chief of the high places. She stands at the top of the high places, Proverbs 8. And she calls you, Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9 has two invitations. Both the harlot, go to Proverbs 9, you just got to see this, it's just too good. Everyone say, this is just too good. Proverbs 9. Look at verse 4 and verse 16. Proverbs 9, verse 4. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. Look at verse 16. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him. There's just two women given that invitation. One of them's the harlot. One of them's wisdom. They're both giving you the exact invitation to come join their system, join their government, join their house, join their kingdom. Whoever invitation you respond to is where you're going to be. Except wisdom's higher. You got to reach higher. Amen? All right, let's close here. Let's go to, y'all gotten real quiet on me lately. So I want to just make sure, go Psalm 77, we're going to close here. This is going to unlock your business. It's going to unlock your ministry. It's going to unlock the body of Christ into her inheritance. When we get here, the supernatural is going to start showing up. Mountains are going to start moving. What's the Lord teaching us? Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me, you can ask what you will. How do you abide in him? You have to abide where he is to abide in him. So you got to be where he is. That's the problem we haven't understand. Well, how do you abide in God? You got to go to where he is. Where is he? At the right hand of the Father. Where are you? At the right hand of the Father. How do I get there? Stay with us. Here's where David lost this place. And I want you to see his intercession. We'll pick this back up on Thursday night. Psalm 77, verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. My spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? His mercy is clean gone forever. He's not in the high places here. Does his promise fail forever? This is how you talk when you're not in the high places. When you read David, you'll understand when he is there and when he's not. You're an open book. Did his promise fail forevermore? Had God forgotten to be gracious? Had he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years. Oh, man. You want to underline that. I will remember the years. Psalm 77:10 of the right hand of the Most High God. You know what he's doing? Father, I'm not there now. I've lost my place. I've fallen out of position. I've fallen out of alignment. Where are you, Father? But I will remember the years I lived in the Most High. I remember the years I sat with you under the shadow of your wings. I remember the years of favor and glory and mercy and the wonders of your majesty, the swirlings of your power. I remember the years of sitting with you at the right hand. I remember the years sitting in and with you under the shadow of your wings where you were a continual habitation for me. I remember those years, Father, until I get back there. I remember that place again. Until I get back on the mountain with you, Father, I'll remember. I won't forget the goodness that place. Father, for those who have been there, let us not forget it. For those that have not made their ascent, draw us, Father. Make intercession for us, Jesus. Make intercession to bring us to where you are. To bring us to behold the glory you have with the Father. To sit down with you. To be with you. To abide far above. That we may execute dominion in the earth from that place, Father. We may let down the net in the business arenas, in the marketplace. Let down the kingdom. Let down the net with the souls of men. Let down the net the healing and deliverance of the nations, Father. We give you all the glory. Amen.